We've had some technical difficulties. We're not going to have a video, right? Possible. They're working on it. So if they start jumping jacks like they were for me a few minutes ago, they were doing a full on up in the balcony. And when they got in unison, they caught my eye. And so they were telling me that we're having technical difficulties. And I picked up the phone, and the phone didn't work too. And I could see, usually it's the preacher that's mad with the sound room, but I could tell they were mad. And then when I hung it up, evidently they were talking and they could hear me because I couldn't hear them. So I hung it up, and they came out, and they were much redder than I was. To be honest with you, usually it's nice because usually the preacher's really mad. But I was just having a good time with it, you know? And so I know they're working really hard to get it. Tonight we have a missionary that wants to present his ministry. Somebody who, again, is this couple is going to Nepal. It's Bim and Charity. If you two would stand and just so everybody can see you. And then they have a table in the back. We want you to go spend some time, get a prayer card and pray for them. And again, this is someone we have met in our travels. And also I found out in our travels that he has worked for Dr. Coral. Now, everybody, I know I heard a little bit of a murmur, okay? And I've heard through the grapevine from Dr. Bradley that Dr. Coral isn't the always easiest person to work for, okay? And I know we're kidding a little bit about it, but sometimes, you know, it is. He's been in the ministry, and they're heading back, and he's going to present the ministry tonight. But if you would tonight, do this for me. Make sure that you, no matter what, tonight, get one of those cards so you can pray for him. Support is important to finance the missionary, but the power of God on the field comes from God's people's prayers for them. And so you come, my brother, and then present your ministry. They kept waving at me, so if they have a video, if this magically comes down and works, then we'll praise the Lord for it.
Thank you, Pastor, for having us. Thank you, Charles, for having us. My name is Beam, and my wife, Charity, is here, and we are glad to be here. And we are the missionary to Nepal. We are the Gimires family. A lot of people can say Gimires, so they say Beam and Charity. Even Dr. Coral can say my last name, so I worked for him 2.5 years. He never called my last name, so I don't feel bad. But Brother Parson, thank you for having us. Really appreciate this opportunity to be here and to present the ministry of what God has laid in our heart. And good to see Brother Carter. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and his love, Brother Carter. You know, a lot of things that we heard about Brother Carter. And good to see man of God, the faithful man of God. But if you are happy to be in church, say amen.
Amen.
If you are saved, say amen.
Amen.
If a lot of people in my country don't have this freedom to come to church, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. The country of Nepal, let's go back to the country of Nepal. It's a small country that lies in the between the China and India. Just think about it. It's a small size of country that is between India and China. China, biggest communist country, and India being biggest socialist country. We are the small country size of Pennsylvania, but 30 million people lives in that country. 30 millions. 80% of those people are Hindus. That means if you know anything about Hinduism, they worship all kind of God. All kind, you name it, Ram, Lakshman, Parvati, Bhim, you know, you name it, all kind of thing. Even they worship cow. Just forget about God. Sun, moon, star, anything which is created by God. Instead of worshiping God, they worship the things that God has created. What a sad. They have to please all kind of God. If you want to be rich, you have to pray to Parvati. If you want to have a good health, you have to pray to Lakshmi. If you want to have money, you have to pray to Ganesh. What a sad way. You know what our God did? He came and died for your sin and my sin. Amen? We don't have to give anything. He already gave his life for us. And that's the God we worship. Our God doesn't want anything. He wants only one thing, to live for him. To live for him. Another 10% of the people believe on Buddhism. That means they always talk about peace and peace and peace. They are looking for something, peace. But may I tell you, we serve the Prince of Peace. That's our God. And my people need to hear about that. One person claimed to be, sadly, one person claimed to be a Christian. That means one person. Out of 30 million people, one person claimed to be Christian. But you are talking about Jehovah's Witness, Charismatic, Pentecostal, Church of Christ, Catholic, all kind of Christian, one person. But how many of them can say, I really know Jesus Christ as my Savior? It's a different question. When you go out sowing here, when you ask people, are you Christian? They all claim to be Christian. And you simply ask after that, do you know 100% sure if you die today, you go to heaven? Oh, I hope so. I wish. That's not Christianity. Christianity is all about having personal relationship with God. And if you don't have that relationship tonight with Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. You have no excuse. And I hope everyone has settled that salvation about Jesus Christ. 123 different kind of people live in Nepal. Different caste system. We have caste system, higher caste, lower caste. And it's sad, like all kind of people. And 123 different languages, dialects. But the main language is Nepali. And that's the lifestyle of people. On the video, if we can play, you'll see all kind of people in the video. And I want you to think about this tonight more than anything. What that was your life, instead of you were born in America, if you were born in Nepal. Right. Amen. What that was your kids' life. Will you share gospel with them? Definitely, right? Because we love them. We want them to go to heaven. That's the same way. That's my people. I was one of them. I'll share my small testimony after the video, but I want you to think this tonight. You support so many missionary, but here's my simple question for you. If you love missionary and you support almost 200-something missionary, and you don't go to your here in the place and go to share the gospel to your people, what a sad thing that is, because it's hard to believe when you say you love my people when you don't love your own people. Because the mission have to start in Jerusalem. Let's watch the video and after that I'll come and preach. Amen.
To try to deny that there's a hell or try to soften the blow of people needing to be confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't throw soul winning out the door. Don't say that, well, that doesn't work anymore. Hey, we have a commission from God. It hasn't changed. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus is still the answer. That's the need of the hour. Thank you.
recommend Beam and Charity. Both of them have grown up on the mission field, been involved in work. They have completed their degrees, have a great burden to go back to Nepal and be used of the Lord there among the people that Beam grew up around. But both of them have that missionary background, a burden for missions, and I would encourage you to have them in, and if you can possibly support them and take them on in your budget, I think they would be a great investment, and I think they'll reap many souls and be used of God in a marvelous way. So I hope you can get them in. I hope you can have them. God bless you.
Those are my people, folks. Those are my people, and they need to hear the gospel. Happy people, lost people. No hope, no clarity. They don't know about Jesus Christ. A lot of us, where we can hear every day of our life. These people have never heard, some of them never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Someone need to go and tell them about that. And God has called me and my wife to go to the country of Nepal. In Romans 10:13, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And a lot of us, we have never met each other, but that's the reason we all are here today, because of what Jesus did for each of us. Amen? Amen. But verse 14 says, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And that's a great question. Verse 15 says, how shall they preach except they be sent? Someone need to go, someone need to pray, someone need to give. And not everyone can go, but everyone can pray, just like Pastor say. In the back of our prayer table, if you come, please grab one of our prayer cards. As your pastor say, your money will take us to the field, but only your prayer will keep us there. So we need your prayer. Please grab one of our prayer cards. Please pray for us, the Gimiris family. Our goal is simple in the country of Nepal. We want to start an independent fundamental Baptist church that preaches the gospel, discipleship, and we want to train the national. That's what we want to do in the country of Nepal. And after that, if it's Lord's will, we want to start an orphan home one day. The reason is, one of your missionaries come to the country of Nepal, and I want to share this quick testimony, preacher. I think it will help your people. What mission giving does, what faith promise does. I saw the faith promise goals and vision for 2023, 500,000. Amen, that's great goal. Praise the Lord. And you have around more than 200 missionary. That's a lot of missionary. Church, I want to give you this quick testimony and I'll preach. I grew up in the country of Nepal as an orphan kid. I didn't have mom, dad, anything in my life. 169 boys orphanage. I grew up fighting, I went to public school, there was no one to tell me what's right and what's wrong. That's the lifestyle I grew up. But one day, long story short, a missionary comes from America, from Chicago, her brother Gomez Church. Come to that restaurant where I was working, made with me, offered me a job, so I started working for him. A lot of bitterness growing up because I didn't have parents. And I always thought, if God was that great, why I was orphaned? Why didn't I have mom and dad like a lot of you have? And kids, be thankful for what you have. Young people, be thankful for what you have. Young girl, be thankful for what you have. Because a lot of us, we don't have like the life you have, the place you have, the church you have, the pastor you have, the Christian home you have, the Christian school you have. We don't have it. You can laugh all you want. One day you're going to look back and you're going to think, that missionary did save me something. And you're going to look. But let me tell you, I grew up rough, having nothing, bitterness. And may I tell you, bitterness is number one thing that kills your life. And if you have bitterness, you better settle with that. Because you're going to backslide, you're going to go far, far away from God. That's what bitterness does. That was my life. But slowly I start working with this missionary. All I have to do, a lot of preacher, a lot of time. Whole life I work so hard. All I have to do once I got with this missionary was read the Bible. Read. And I did it. Read the Bible, make money. It was the easiest thing. So I choose to do it. But in 2015, I got an opportunity to come to Bible college in Chicago. So I came. The first thing, the Bible college, I have to tell this story. The first time I came to Bible college, it was cold there. I met a brown people just like me. And I was like, oh, that's great. And namaste, mero naam Bhim ho. You know, I'm talking in my language. I was so excited. I didn't know so much English. My name is Bhim. Just a small phrase and word. So I meet this guy, and I'm talking in Nepali. He looks at me, preacher, and walks away. And I was thinking, man, this guy is rude. We are friendly people. We are brown people. We're friendly people. But later, we found out he was a Mexican. He was not a Nepali. Wrong brown person, amen? But anyways, that was my story. But God started working on my heart. Start learning English. By the end of my freshman year, I can understand everything pastor says because there was no one to talk my language, so I have to learn English. So I did. But I realized soon, every day in chapel, pastor, they are preaching about gospel, Jesus Christ. I realized soon I was not saved. I never asked Jesus Christ to come to my heart, ever. I can remember the time. I can remember the place. I was gone to church a lot of time, read the Bible, but never asked Jesus Christ to come to my heart. In May 26, 2016, I asked Jesus to come to my heart, and it's forever settled. I had my own dream, plan. I wanted to go to military, make money, have a good family, have a kids, have a wife, all those things, and I wanted to be a best dad because I didn't have nothing in life. But I didn't want it to my kids to go through what I went through in my life. And there are a lot of things I can talk about what I went through, but I don't want to even think about that. It's in the past, it's done. That was my goal and dream. But may I tell you, God has different plan for my life. I got saved and I got serious, so I told, I'm going to go for 4 years, so I came back. Every year I have to fly back and forward. So in that summer on 2016, I got to go to the football camp. That's where I met Dr. Coral and a lot of other pastors, Brother Angel, Brother Woodward, Brother Gamaldi, and there's a lot of pastors I met. And I went to that football camp. It was all about playing football and preaching. On that football camp, I had a lot of fun. These people are getting mad with me. I didn't know how to play football. I just played soccer whole life. And they are getting mad. And I didn't. When the people get mad, I don't understand anything what they say. So I'm just looking and smiling. I asked my friend, what they say? Just smile. So I'm smiling. And Brother Coral getting mad with me. I was on his team, you know, and all those things. But on Thursday night, Brother Joe Gamaldi was preaching on the message, Don't Ring the Bell. Don't quit. And he talks about the life of Joseph. Some use him, some misuse him, some accuse him the things he had never done in his life. But Joseph keep being faithful and keep serving God. And look at his life. He became the second most powerful man in that whole Egypt. That's a blessing of the Lord. And at that time, God spoke on my heart, so I surrendered my life to be a missionary. I gave my life. Lord, here is my bitterness. Here is everything what I have in my life. But use for your glory. So I went on that Thursday night, I surrendered my life. Was the best decision ever in my life. After that, in my junior year, I met my beautiful wife at Providence Baptist College. She's a missionary kid. Her dad was a missionary to Philippines for 20 years. Served there, she was born and raised in Philippines, so she speaks a few different languages, Tagalog and Lango, other things. I speak Nepali, Hindi, and other few dialects of Nepal. And sometimes we have discussion in our house, and we start speaking in tongues. No. We don't do that. We don't speak in tongues. Just different language, amen? But we don't understand each other. Bless God. We love each other. She does all the videos, our prayer card, everything. She's the one who worked for Brother Coral, does newspaper, everything. We are very blessed. After we graduated in 2020, we went to work for Dr. Coral for 2.5 years. And we have to tell Brother Coral, we need to go to our deputation, his stamp. He goes, are you sure? You need to work a little more. And I said, no, doc, it's time to go. So we started our deputation in August this year. We are already in 45%, praise the Lord. It's really good. We have place with a lot of good meetings. So just pray for us. But here's the reason I gave my testimony. One, the missionary that came to Nepal is one of your missionaries, Roberto. And you guys support Roberto. And sometimes you may have a question. I give to mission, but where is my money going? Sometimes you give and give and give. You do have a prayer card, prayer update letter, and that's good. But sometimes you don't see the fruit. But may I tell you, I'm your fruit. I was raised by your penny. I was raised by your dollar, $5, $10, whatever you have given. I was raised because of your money. I'll be never here in front of you preaching Bible today, preaching God's word without your money. I was raised by your. That's what mission does. That's what faith promised God. So please keep giving on missions, because there is thousands of people like me everywhere in the world. One day you will not meet here. One day in heaven you will meet them. And they will thank you for everything you have done. Giving towards mission. Keep giving to mission, church. It is worth it. And may I tell you, you can never outgive God. Never outgive God. And thank you for being faithful. Let's stand one more time for the reading of the word of God. And I'll be preaching from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. If you can stand, that would be great. If you can stand, please don't. You don't have to. Luke chapter 8. Thank you, Pastor, once again for having me and letting me to preach. I don't want to take that lightly. Luke chapter 8. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says in verse 22, that's where we're going to start reading. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciple, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him, wake him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Verse 25, and he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the wind and the water, they obey him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, to preach the Bible. Thank you so much for this freedom where we can come and serve and glorify your name. Lord, just be with me tonight as I preach. Lord, just help me to be a blessing to these people. Help me to say exactly what you want me to say. Lord, be with me. I can do nothing without you, Lord. Be with the people. Open their heart. Help them to be get something from your word, Lord. Thank you so much once again for their faithfulness and the pastor who served you with his faithfulness. Thank you so much for all the things that this church does for you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may say it. So tonight, I want to preach on a sermon called Traveling with Jesus. As you know, as a Christian life, once we get saved, it's time to travel. Walk with Jesus Christ. In every day of our life, as Paul said, I die daily. How can you die daily? By the reading of the God's word. Hey, you can die daily with your flesh, from the devil, from the world, without reading this book. You need this book. It's the bread of life. And we need every day. Without this book, you can travel with him. We need this book. So I want to challenge tonight on the topic traveling with Jesus. I challenge you tonight, traveling with Jesus, no matter what happens to you, traveling with Jesus, no matter who stands with you, traveling with Jesus, no matter what you have, traveling with Jesus when you are poor, traveling with Jesus when you are rich, traveling with Jesus when you are alone, traveling with Jesus when you are in mountaintop, traveling with Jesus when you are in valley, traveling with Jesus when you are broke, traveling with Jesus when you have everything, and traveling with Jesus when you have nothing. May I tell you, Christian, it is the summary of Christian life. That is the one thing that will help you to serve God faithfully. Hey, traveling with Jesus by reading your Bible, by praying in daily life. Traveling with Jesus is the number one thing after you have to do after you get saved. Traveling with Jesus. You can live your Christian life, best Christian life, without traveling with Jesus. You have to travel with him. That's the basic principle of Christian life. Let me tell you about it. 2023 is gone. 22 is gone. Lot of regrets, right? Every one of us have regrets. We have a plan, goal, vision, and we didn't finish it. We didn't have it. We didn't hit it. Maybe we missed traveling with Jesus Maybe we had a Bible reading schedule we're going to finish on this year. You didn't finish it. Regret. We all have those kind of regrets. But 2022 is back. It's gone. But right here, 2023 is brand new. It's just the second week. And you have a lot of goal, vision, and that's great. Everyone should have vision and goal. Every church family should have vision and goal. Every church should have vision and goal. But that vision and goal will not be great if you don't travel with Jesus Christ in 2023. The number one goal for my life, right, myself, for 2023 is to serve God and travel with Him every day. That's my number one goal. And may I tell you, church, after you get saved, you travel. But when you travel, there is things as a Christian life we go through. So I want to preach about five things every Christian have to face when you are traveling with Jesus Christ. Number one, the call of the Savior. Read verse 22. The Bible says, let us go over unto the other side of lake. Did you see? That's a call. Let me give you the background. What's going on in Luke chapter 8. Jesus, as you know Jesus' story, he travels from place to place. He preaches, he gives the gospel, he provides the food, and he heals the sick, he, you know, make the blind to see, and he does all those kind of things, and he goes, tells those people, hey, let's go to other side. And they go to other side, and he does same thing. And finally, they come to Luke chapter 8, and they are in the mountaintop, on the top of the mountain. There is lake down there. And he says, there is thousands of people following him. Everywhere he goes, there is thousands of people following him. Finally, he begged them to sit down on that mountain and preach the gospel, provides the food, heals the sick, sometimes raises the dead, and he does all kind of things. And finally, he says, hey, we heard all day these things, and it's great, but it's time to travel. Let's go to other side. And that's the call of the Savior. And may I tell you, every one of us got a call from the God. Doesn't matter. But the person, he's a pastor. That's his call. I'm a missionary. Hey, someone need to pray. Someone need to do something. Someone need to sing. Someone need to play the piano. Someone need to go Sony. We need all kind of things. And may I tell you, God has called everyone to do something for him. Amen. But what's your call? It's great to you came to church and you are in your pew. Bless God for that. But our thing doesn't end right there. It's not just coming to your seat and sitting every day, every week. It's more than that. Traveling with him. What did God has called you to do? Are you hearing God calling? Are you hearing? May I tell you, when you want to travel with Jesus Christ, number one thing you need to do is leave the crowd. You need to leave the crowd because not everyone is here to serve God. Let me tell you. This whole thousands of people, only few are going. And may I tell you, in our churches, there is thousands of people in our churches, but not everyone get involved. Not everyone wants to serve God. And number one thing, when you want to travel with Jesus Christ, you need to leave the crowd. Don't worry what the next person is doing. You know what God wants you to do. Just be faithful and do it. Number two, when you want to travel with Jesus Christ, you need to go because he says so, go. We need to go. Let's go to other side. Because if God calls you to do something, please just do it. You don't need to any permission from anyone. If God calls you, just do it. Do you understand what he's saying? You can play the rest of your life. It's time for you to travel with me. And sometimes we need to travel on our Bible reading, praying. Sometimes we need to travel on our holiness. Sometimes we need to travel on our mission field. We need to travel on our giving. We need to travel on, you name it. What's the one thing you need to travel on tonight? 2023 is a brand new year. What do you want to travel with Jesus Christ on 2023? Is there something you need to travel on? On our marriage. On our marriage, right? That's the key. But we need to travel. So number one, when you want to travel with Jesus Christ, you need to get a call. Number two, the commitment of his servant. In verse 22, look at that verse, number 22. And they launched forth. Do you see that? They are committed. You may say, traveling with Jesus. What is traveling with Jesus? I'll tell you, it involves the call. Somewhere in your life, he's talking to you. Don't miss it. But it's not hearing the call only. It's with commitment. You have to have a commitment. Because God has called every one of us. But are you committed tonight? Are you committed? Because call without commitment is just a call. People don't do anything. My mom say, hey, I want you to come and do the dishes. Because if I am not committed, it's just a call.
Amen.
And may I tell you, God has said, go into the whole land, preach the gospel. That's the call. But are we committed tonight? Are we committed? Church, are you committed? You may say, what do you mean they launched forward? The Bible doesn't give any detail. They launched forward. There is no detail given. It's in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in all four gospels. There is no detail given in that passage. They launched forward. How long the ride? What we going to eat on the ride? Is there first class seat in the ride? Is there food in the ride? Amen. As the Baptist, we need food. No food in the ride? Is the ride comfortable? Who going to ride with us? What going to happen after the ride? Nothing is given. And as a Christian life, sometimes when God calls you, he doesn't show everything in your life. He doesn't. Because if you know everything, most likely you don't need God. That's why God is God. That's why we are we. We are sinners. We don't need to know everything. When God calls you, just do it. Maybe God has called you to do something, but he has not explained you. When? How? Where? May I tell you, have a commitment, church. Have a commitment. Hey, young man, maybe God has called you to be a missionary, pastor. Whatever God has called you to be, have a commitment. Because he wants to see the small faith on you first. He wants to test us. And so he's going to show you the next step. He's not going to show you everything. We all want to be Brother Coral. We all want to be Brother Parson. We all want to be Brother Carter. But may I tell you, we don't know everything what they went through in their life. Do it. God has tested them. So there is a commitment we all have to make. So number one, you see the call when you are traveling with Jesus Christ. Number two, you see the commitment when you are traveling with Jesus Christ. Number three, this is the hardest thing. You see the crisis at the sea. Number three, the crisis, the difficulties at the sea. Verse number 23, the Bible says, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. You may say, Brother Beam, okay, I heard the call. I have heard it. I have offered my commitment, and I'm on the boat. But what? Explain me, why am I going through the crisis? What is going on here? Why is there difficulties? Because traveling with Jesus Christ involves crisis. Crisis is everywhere. May I tell you, there is not one person in the Bible that didn't went through the crisis who are used by God. Every one of them went through the crisis. And may I tell you, if there is a man of God who is used by God greatly, ask any of them, they've been through the crisis. I'm talking about dangerous crisis. They have battled through difficulties, things after things. Crisis comes in your life. One day after I got saved, I went to Nepal. I have to go to Nepal every year. That's my visa. I didn't have F1 visa. I have M1 visa. That means every year, end of the year, you have to fly back to Nepal and come back again. That was really hard with financially everything. But when I was in Nepal, preacher, I met with a man. He's a businessman. I was going to the shopping to buy things for my friends to bring back to college, you know, as a gift. And I was shopping, and this man, he's a businessman, comes to me and asks me, why am I buying so much things? And I told him, I go to America to go to Bible college. And he got interested, saying, what Bible college means? Never heard it. So I explained what Bible college. After that, I told him Jesus Christ, and that's what we learn about Jesus and all those things. What Jesus Christ? So I gave him what Jesus Christ. I preached the gospel to him. And after I preached the gospel, he didn't get saved, so I invited church, amen? That's the next step, always. So I invited him to church, and he came to church. He said, okay, I'll come to church. So first week, he came to, we have Saturday service. That's the only holiday days. It's Saturday. That's the only one day you have off. From Sunday to Friday, you work. And Saturday is the only one off day from the government. So I invited him. He came to church first. I asked him, how do you like the church? He said, yeah, it was good. I love singing. And yeah, gospel was preached. Everything didn't get saved. Second week, same thing. Third week, finally, he comes to the front. And he got saved. Amen. He got saved, the businessman. He is excited, but I have to leave to come to America. But I was learning the Bible. I was just sophomore year. I didn't know so much about Bible. I'm a new Christian. I'm a baby. But I was learning. And every time we talk, FaceTime and we tried to talk. And, you know, I was teaching him. He will ask me question, and I'll go to some of my teacher and ask, preacher, what does this mean? And I'll tell him, I'm teaching and I'm learning and I'm teaching this guy at the same time. But in my senior year, I didn't go to Nepal to do an internship for 6 months with another missionary. While I was there, I met with this guy. And we sat in his shop and we talked. And I asked him, how is your life going? How is everything going? And he explained me, Brother Beam, my whole family is saved. His wife and kids, all of them got saved because he got saved. But he said, but Lord, life is going hard. I didn't want to discourage you. You were in Bible college. I didn't want to talk about negatively. But my life is going horrible. I'm going through difficulties and hard time. My society hates me. My business is going downhill. No one wants to come to buy from me because I'm a Christian. Going through a lot of persecution. And he said this, when I was doing right, everything looks good. Everything was right. Money was coming. Family loved me. Society loved me. Everything was going good. But once I did right, no one likes me. My business is going down. It doesn't look right. And he said, but I'll tell you something. My family and I have enjoyed life more when we didn't have nothing. We didn't have Jesus Christ. But now we have Jesus Christ. We may have nothing. But we understood he is everything. That's what he said to me. It encouraged my heart. Because you know what? Jesus is everything. He giveth and he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, he's the one who giveth. And if that young businessman can say that, the young Christian man, you guys have been Christian for a long time, most of you. What's the one thing you are complaining about tonight? What's the thing? Somebody today has heard the call, are committed, and you are in the crisis and complaining to God. Why am I in this crisis? Why am I going through the difficulties? Because traveling with Jesus Christ involves crisis. It's a part of life. It's a part of life. You're going to go through the crisis. You see, when you start traveling with Jesus Christ, you heard the call, you are committed, you go through the crisis. But number four thing, the comfort during the storm. The comfort, the comforter is right there. Hey, the verse 24 says, and they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of water, and they ceased, and there was calm. May I tell you, he's a comforter. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but the joy cometh in the morning. Hey, joy always comes. It doesn't matter what you go through in your life. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my own eyes. God is our guide. He is our leader. He will guide us if you follow, if you travel with him. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hey, if you faint, folks, I'm telling you, if you faint in the crisis, the comforter is right there. Just run to the comforter. When you go through the difficulties, run to him. It's good to go to pastor, your mom and dad, and it's always, I encourage you to do. But why don't we start with God? 2023, if you are going through the crisis, let's start with God. Amen. And your God, and the way you find God is right here, right here, amen, right here. He has given everything to us. The comforter. The storm will come when you are traveling with Jesus Christ. But the joy is through the storm. You are not alone. He's always there. He's always there. They wake him. They wake him. The Bible says they wake him. Most likely the Peter went, right? Peter is the guy. He's always there. Peter went to most likely him. And the storm is coming. And he said, Jesus, we're going to die. We want you to come. We want you to wake. Sometimes in our Christian life, we feel like Jesus is sleeping on us, just like he's sleeping right here. Been praying for my mom and dad. After I went to orphan home, I made my parents, real parents, when I was 18 years old. After I got saved, I was surrendered to be a missionary, preach the gospel full time, and my parents come up. Made him preacher. It was so, so hard. But you know what? I gave everything to God. And when I met my parents, I hugged them. I would say namaste, and we bow down, kind of hug. You know, that's our culture. And I told them, I love them. I told them I love them, I forgive them. They were like, they don't believe me because what they did to me. They gave me to someone. And they lost me for 18 years. We never see each other. I love them and I have been praying for them for almost 4 years now. And we feel like I have given gospel and gospel and gospel every time I talk. And that's where my heart is. My parents, I want them to go to heaven. I don't want them to go to hell. Praying after praying, and it feels like sometimes Jesus is sleeping. Why is he not answering? And maybe you have same way. God may feel like you feel like you have been praying for something for a long time, but God has not answered you. May I tell you? It's not about our timing. It's about his timing. He is all-knowing God. He may be sleeping, but he knows better than what we know. He is all-knows. He created the heaven and earth. He created you and me. He came to die for your sin and my sin. And we trusted him for our salvation. And the crisis comes and you doubt on him. You doubt on him. Be careful. Because he is all-knowing God. Be careful what you see. Be careful where you go. Be careful what you do. Because he knows everything. You may talk behind your pastor, behind your someone, behind your parents, but you can't talk behind our God. He's all-knowing God. And you know what? We're all going to stand before God one day, and we're going to give account to him. We're all going to do that. So it's a race, you versus God. It's God versus you. It's your race with God. I can run your race. You can run my race. We have our own race. But run your race. And finish it. So number one, you see the call when you are traveling with Jesus Christ. Number two, you see the commitment. You start thing, you see the crisis. Number four thing, you see the comforter. But this is fifth thing, and this is my last thing, and this is my sermon for 2023. And I'm done. The coming reward. This is what we have been waiting for. The coming reward. May I tell you, the multitude stay on the seashore. This multitude, thousands of people, they stay on the seashore on the top of the mountain because they didn't feel comfortable riding with him. They were not courage. They didn't have a courage to ride with him. But the few rode with him. Because the few rode with him, they got reward after reward because they traveled with Jesus Christ. See, in our churches, and I'm not trying to be mean, there is people who come to church faithfully, have been sitting on the same place for 10, 15 years, but they don't want to ride with Jesus Christ. They just want to come when the time is good. And when it comes to time to travel, and pastor says, we have a goal and vision, we're going to hit $5,000 towards mission. Oh, please, I don't want to travel. I'm sitting on the seashore. I want to stay here. It's comfortable here. Let me tell you, churches, there is reward after reward. The disciple, the 12 choose to go with Jesus Christ. They were committed. Thousands, they stay back. But let me tell you, on the other side, what is going on. They think they are seeing on the storm. They say, I'm glad I didn't went there because they're going to die. They're going to die. I choose the right thing. I'm going to stay here. But here is few things in our churches. There is people who are serving God, and they serve God. They go through financial problem. They go through family problem. They go through friend problem. Hey, they go through a lot of things in their life, but they are serving God. Bless God. But there's people who are not doing anything, sitting here and making fun of the people who are serving God. They have no idea what is good God is doing on the people who are serving. Let me tell you on the chapter, Luke chapter 8, these thousands of people don't want to serve God. They want to sit here. They are making fun of the people who travel with Jesus Christ. They see they're going to die. They are thinking in the storm they're all going to die. They think they make the right choice. But let me tell you, there are few people who choose to travel Jesus Christ. They came to the storm, and they are going through hard time. They are going through difficult time, and they think they're going to die. But they come to Jesus and wakes him. When Jesus wakes up, he sees the storm, and he says, stop, the storm was stopped. All the difficulties, all the trials, all the crises stop right there. On the lake, on the sea, you see the power of the deep right here. But the reward from verse 26 to 56 on Luke chapter 8, when you go home, read that chapter. But the reward, the Bible says the reward didn't stop right here. They go to the other side of that lake and they were met with a demon-possessed guy. He's running naked. He's on the cemetery. He was chained with a bone that cannot be broken. He's a psychopath for his society. Hey, he had never experienced Jesus Christ in his life. And he's running and doing all kind of demon-possessed thing. And Jesus comes to his life and casts that demon out of his life. And he is a newborn Christian. And he's excited. He's running around. But he's a happy guy. Hey, you, because they choose to travel with Jesus Christ, they see the power over the deep right here. They go to other side. They see the power over the demon right here. And they will meet with the Jairus. You know the story of Jairus. His daughter is almost dead. And Jairus wants Jesus to come to his house and heal his daughter. On the way to Jairus' house, Jairus goes, come, Jesus, I want you to come to my house. And Jesus goes, all right, let's go to your house. And on the way to Jairus' house, he is met with the woman issue of blood for 12 years. Hey, this she tried all kind of doctor, didn't help. She tried all kind of medicine, didn't help. She did all kind of things in her life, but nothing helped. But Jesus comes on her way, and the Bible says she touched the hem of his garment, and her disease was cured. Hey, because they choose to travel with Jesus Christ, you see the power over the demon. Hey, because they choose to travel with Jesus Christ, you see the power over the demon. Hey, they choose to travel with Jesus Christ, and you see the power over the diseases. And finally, he goes to Jairus' house, and guess what? His daughter is dead. And this manful man say, it's not worth traveling with Jesus Christ. But Jesus comes to his house and raised that daughter from the dead. That's my God. You see the power over the dead. You're going to see all kind of things if you travel with Jesus Christ. And you're going to see. But if you stay right here, folks, doing nothing, you're going to miss out. 2023 is a brand new year. Pastor have vision. Pastor have goal. He want to do something special. But how many will you travel with him? Get in the boat. Because if you don't get in the boat, the Jesus you see from this side is one Jesus. But your Jesus you see from this right here from the front seat is whole another Jesus. Whole another Jesus. You don't want to sit right there. You want to travel on the first class seat on the front where Jesus can do something on your life, personal life. Not on someone's life. On your life, your life, your life, your life, your life, all of your life. But you have to sit on the front to see. Hey, there is no miracle without crisis. You have to go through the trial. I want to see this, God doing this. I want to see God this. But you don't want to go through the process. There is no shortcut in Christian life. You have to go through the process. You may ask, why is God doing that to his life? Why is God doing that to her life? Why is God doing that to Brother Carter's life, Brother Parson's life? And my question to you is, why is God not doing anything on your life? Huh? Why is God not doing anything in your life? Are you traveling with him? Are you in the first class seat? Because there is different Jesus Christ, young girl. Travel with him. You are young. This is the right way to go. Because that side of the world, there is nothing. I came from that side of the world. I'm talking about the world where the devil wants you to go. There is nothing. I came from that side of the world. Young man, live for Jesus Christ. Surrender your life for him. Whatever he has called you to do. Because you're going to see a lot more things on that side. 2023, new year, new day. What are you going to be, your life will be? Are you going to travel with him? Did you hear him call? Are you committed? Are you in the crisis? Because crisis comes on everyone's life. But may I tell you, Christian, the comforter is right there. Stay hanging there because there is reward on the other side. And we want that reward. We are going to the country of Nepal. I don't have to go. There is nothing in the country of Nepal. Here is freedom. I can do a lot of things here. My kids can grow in the good church, everything. But that's where God called me to go. My ship is going to the country of Nepal. I'm committed. Christ is going to come in my life, my family life, my wife life. But the Comforter is there. He called me. I surrender. I'm committed. When Christ has come, He's the one. He's the Comforter. And I better live in central will of God, because there is no better place. What about you? 2023. Brand new year. Travel with Him. Head bows, eye closed. As Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What will be your course look like? Are you going to finish your course? Are you going to travel with Him? C.T. Studd said, I have only one life till soon be past. What you have done for Christ will last. Only one life, but the only thing that will last is serving Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that matters at last. Church, did God say, I want you to travel with you this year in 2023. If God has spoken to you, Brother Beam, God has spoken to me. I want to travel in 2023 with Him. I want to be in first class. I want to travel with Him. No matter. The Christ says, the difficulties, I want to travel with Him. Can you raise your hand tonight? I want to pray for you. Thank you, church. Thank you. Thank you. Travel with Him. Travel with Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for everything. Just be with the people. Help them to travel with you in 2023. Help them to follow Pastor vision, goals. Help them to have their personal goals, everything, Lord. Thank you so much, their faithfulness, everything. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Would you stand to your feet tonight? If God has spoken to you, why don't you step out and come?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
If you're here tonight and you're not saved, why don't you step out and come? We can take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Please don't come into a meeting tonight. God is calling you. This is an old-fashioned invitation, and we're inviting you to step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle, and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. If God's calling you to do that while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and Christians are praying, you step out and meet me in the front, and we'll do that. Brother Bert, if you'll sing.
Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Would you bow your head with me tonight as the piano plays? I just want to ask you one question. You know, that there's a wonderful message for us tonight in a brand new year, and God has called so many of us. And sometimes it seems that He's called us to row into a storm. But how many of us so quickly in this year have already forgot that He's in the boat? And the question that He asked those around Him is, where is your faith? 2023, we need to remember that He asked us to row, but He got in the boat with us. And the same one that commanded us and called us is the same one that commands the waves and the wind, and He can be with us. Tonight, as we think about that, why don't we sing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus" together. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Amen. That was a good message for us tonight. Amen. I'm going to ask you folks to go on back to your table, and we'll ask you folks to go by there after we finish up and pray tonight. But it was a blessing to my heart. I don't know if you picked it up tonight, but he just spent a couple minutes letting you know that those are missionary dollars from your church that went to a missionary that reached him. And so many times we don't always get to see that. That's a blessing tonight. To have had a wonderful victory in our missions. But folks, to me, the money is a big deal because I know what it goes for. But sometimes it's a blessing when God lets us see a little bit on this side of heaven of what He does with it. Amen. We're going to close in prayer. Please go by the table and get a prayer card. Tell them that you're pulling for them. These are worthy missionaries that are going to go and row into the storm. And we need to pray with them that God will take care of them and meet their needs. And just give them power on the field. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we have an upcoming Bible conference. Lord, we pray your power upon the preachers. Give them safety as they come in. God, thank you for just even like a kickoff tonight of how you just renewed our spirit and our heart. We're thankful for that. We're reminded that you're in this boat with us, Lord. And even though the world and others on shore may mock us as we row in the storm, Lord, we know the reward is worth the trip. Lord, I pray you just be with us tonight. Take our folks home safely. Bring us back at the appointed hour. In Jesus' name, amen.